2 Chronicles chapter 15, verses 9 through 15. Verse 9, and he, referring to King Asa, gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers. Now that strangers are fellow Israelite strangers. With them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon. For they fell to him out of Israel in abundance. When they saw that the Lord his God was with him. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month. That's June. In the 15th year, that's 15 out of 41 years of the reign of Asa. And they offered unto the Lord the same at the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. That whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice, and with shouting, and with trumpets, and with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with all their whole desire. And he was found of them. And the Lord gave them rest round about. It lasted for 25 years. You may be seated. What did the kingdom of Judah do which enabled them to have rest from their enemies? They made a covenant with their Lord God. Just like the Voortrekkers of South Africa did in 1838. This covenant gave the covenant seed of Jacob Israel another miraculous victory, one that saved their race from complete annihilation in South Africa by the Zulus. In fact, the covenant that Judah and many of the righteous people of the house of Israel who had come to Judah was a covenant with a death penalty attached with it. Any person who failed to participate in making this covenant was to be put to death. It was a serious covenant that each person who was living in Judah made. King Asa was the leader in saying that this covenant was completed, and the Bible says that he was a good king. But who was the next good king? It was King Asa's son, King Jehoshaphat. What did King Jehoshaphat do that was good in the eyes of the Lord? Would you be surprised to learn that King Jehoshaphat drove out the remnant of the Sodomites who still remained in the land of Judah that his father failed to destroy during his reign? King Asa got rid of the majority of Sodomites, but the Bible says that there was a remnant who still remained. King Jehoshaphat finished the job of driving the homosexuals out of the land. They had been there since the days of his great-grandfather, King Rehoboam. And I'll quote the scripture. And there were also Sodomites in the land, and they did according to all the abomination of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. It took two good kings in succession to rid Judah of all the homosexuals. It took both King Asa and his son, King Jehoshaphat, to finally rid Judah of the Sodomites who did all the things that the Canaanite nations did. Another scripture reference. And the remnant of the Sodomites, which remained in the days of his father Asa, he took out of the land. When it says, quote, he took them out of the land, unquote, it meant that he destroyed them as the law of Moses commanded him to. In other words, he executed them. Now we go to 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verses 1 through 6. And Jehoshaphat his son reigned in his stead, and strengthened himself against Israel. And he placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah, and set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the lands of Ephraim, which Asa his father had taken. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat, because he walked in the first ways of his father David, and sought not unto Balaam, but sought to the Lord God of his father, and walked in his commandments, and not after the doings of Israel. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches and honor in abundance. And his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and groves out of Judah. King Jehoshaphat was very similar to his father. But King Jehoshaphat did a couple of things that his father had not done. For example, one thing that he did that his father didn't do, in fact, all the rest of the previous kings failed to do, was that he instituted a great teaching mission. This institution was the first that was done by any king of Judah or Israel. The law of Moses was taken from city to city and taught to the people. I have a scriptural reference, one verse that tells about this, 2 Chronicles 17:9, and they, which refers to Levites, priests, and princes, taught in Judah, and had the book of the law of the Lord with them, and went about throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. This is the secret of peace. For, quote, the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat. 2 Chronicles 17:10. And not only was there peace, but the other kingdoms brought tribute money and animals to Judah during this time, and Judah became very great, rich, and powerful. In the house of Israel at the time of the reign of Jehoshaphat was the reign of King Ahab. You remember King Ahab. He was an open Baal worshiper. King Ahab married Queen Jezebel, the daughter of the king of Zidon. That kingdom, the house of Israel, was so bad that Elijah the prophet was sent to show them who the true God was, and that they were worshiping a false god. In fact, all the true preachers were hidden in a cave, and the priests of the land were Baal priest. Elijah won the contest, and 850 Baal priests were executed on the spot by the men of Israel who were there. King Jehoshaphat was actually coerced to fight with King Ahab and the house of Israel against the enemy of Syria. The battle ended in King Ahab's death, but King Jehoshaphat was spared from being killed by God's direct intervention. King Ahab, who disguised himself in the battle, was killed by a random arrow shot into the air by an enemy soldier, which landed right in his chest. After King Ahab's death, the kingdom of Moab rebelled against the house of Israel and invaded the house of Judah. It was told to the king of Judah that the armies of Moab and Ammon were camped at Enjali, and later that the Edomites joined them. My question is, what would you do? Three armies that were bigger and more powerful than yours was just several miles south of your capital. King Jehoshaphat became afraid and set himself to seek the Lord by proclaiming a fast and a general convocation throughout all Judah. What else could he do? This shows you where, in Jedi, there it is, Now there's Jerusalem. There's the Dead Sea. There's Masada, Hebron. And Gedi, right there on the Dead Sea. That's where the three armies are. There's where Jehoshaphat lives in Jerusalem. Very close. Well, what would you do? Three armies there. There was certainly a sense in which Jehoshaphat feared the great multitude coming against him. His last experience on the field of battle was a narrow escape from death. The troops of Syria surrounded him. They were going to kill him. They thought he was King Ahab. The king said, I want you to kill, just make sure you kill one man. That's King Ahab. So they went after the king, Jehoshaphat, and they're ready to kill him. And they say, hey, that's not King Ahab. So they left him. And then the one soldier shot an arrow in the air, randomly shot it, and landed right in the chest of King Ahab. Yet the sense here is that he feared the Lord and was more awed at the power and majesty of God than at the destructive force of his enemies. I wonder how many people feel that way. How many people fear God? God's strength. They fear the enemy, but do they fear God? King Jehoshaphat set the example by his own personal devotion. He would not call upon the people of Judah and to seek the Lord in a way that he did not. Now, 2 Chronicles, a reoccurring theme happens. There is a reoccurring theme in 2 Chronicles. The leaders of the covenant people who seek the Lord. We can expect God to do great things when his people, and especially the leaders of his people, seek him. I'm going to give you some examples in 2 Chronicles where this is true. The first one is the faithful remnant of the house of Israel shortly after they split into two separate kingdoms. And there's the scriptural reference. I'll read you those verses, verse 13. And the priest and the Levites that were in all Israel, that's the house of Israel, resorted to him out of all their coasts. For the Levites left their suburbs and their possessions and came to Judah and Jerusalem. For King Jeroboam and his sons had cast them off from executing the priest office unto the Lord. See, the Levites were required by God to be priests. They were the priests. They were scattered throughout all the tribes. King Jeroboam came on when he had the house of Israel and says, you're not going to execute the king's office. You're kicked out of the office. So they went back to Jerusalem. They left all their possessions, went back to Jerusalem. And he ordained him priest of the high places and for the devils and for the calves which he had made. And after them, out of all the tribes of Israel, such as set their hearts to seek the Lord God of Israel, came to Jerusalem to sacrifice unto the Lord God of their fathers. They moved to a place where they could go to the house of God, which was located in Jerusalem. When the two kingdoms split, the northern kingdom, the house of Israel, immediately went into great apostasy. The Levites who were living in the house of Israel were cast off from executing the duties of the priest office unto the Lord God. So all the Levites, according to God's commands, only descendants of Levi could be priests, came to live in the house of Judah. It was there that they were allowed to be teachers and priests as commanded by Moses. Soon after they left, there was a large number of citizens of all the tribes of the house of Israel who followed them in coming to the house of Judah. So we learn that not only did the priests and Levites leave the ten tribe kingdom, all the godly of the ten tribes also left their country, coming to Jerusalem and Judah, to seek the Lord and to sacrifice to him. Well, you weren't allowed to go to the temple, so they left their homeland. But this was short-lived, for only after 3 years of doing what was right, King Rehoboam forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him, 2 Chronicles 12:1. It was then that the house of Judah was attacked and soundly defeated by the nation of Egypt. They lost the treasures in the house of the Lord and many of the treasures in the king's house. But they were spared from total destruction when the king and his princes humbled themselves, so that the wrath of the Lord was turned from him and Judah was spared. That's why they were spared. They humbled themselves. Rehoboam began his reign when he was 41 years old and reigned for only 17 years. If he had prepared his heart to seek the Lord God on a consistent basis, then he would have become established to stay true to the God of Israel. The second thing in the 2 Chronicles, the people of Judah under King Asa. My last sermon and the opening scriptural reading of this sermon tells of the time when Judah, along with King Asa, made a covenant with their Lord. This led to a revival in Judah. For there was shouting, the sound of trumpets and cornets, and the people rejoicing at the oath that they had made. They had sworn with all their heart, and he was found of them. As a result, God gave them peace for 25 years. This covenant was made after Judah was attacked by about 1 million Cushites. Remember that last sermon I gave? Judah, under the leadership of King Asa, cried to the Lord God for help, and God gave him victory. And the scripture says that the Lord smote the Ethiopians, the Cushites, before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. The next is King Hezekiah. King Hezekiah sought the Lord, and he did it with all his heart, and prospered. 2 Chronicles 31:21. And every work that he began to do in the service of the house of God, in the law and in all the commandments, he sought the Lord. After the great revival and religious reformation under King Hezekiah, the king of Assyria made war on Judah. He had already taken the 10 tribe nations into captivity, the house of Israel. And now his heart was lifted up to take Judah, the house of Judah also. And this he overstepped himself, for he had been commissioned to destroy the northern kingdom only. God defeated his purpose and delivered Hezekiah after testing his faith and permitting Judah to be tested. How can you show your faith if you're not tested? Jerusalem was surrounded by the Assyrians, waiting for their starvation to eventually reach all the inhabitants of Judah. They had already captured 22 fenced cities of Judah. But Hezekiah the king and the prophet Isaiah prayed and cried to heaven. 2 Chronicles 32:20. The book of Isaiah talks about this. Then God's angel was sent for the purpose of destroying the most powerful army in the world, the Syrian army. The most powerful nation in the world this time lost close to 500,000 troops in one night. 500,000 in one night. Can you believe that? King Zerahpeb went home disgraced and was murdered in the house of his God by his relatives. I'm going to read you a verse, 2 Chronicles 32:32. Thus the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and from the hand of all other, and guided them on every side. The next is King Josiah. He began to reign when he was only 8 years old. In this year, King Josiah, quote, began to seek after the God of David, his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. 2 Chronicles 34:2. King Josiah made a covenant with the Lord to keep the law, and also made Judah to conform to it. They did so all the days of his life. Now, 2 Chronicles 34:31-32. And the king, referring to King Josiah, stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul, to perform the word of the covenant which are written in this book that they found in the temple. And he caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. What do you think that produced? King Josiah had a mighty revival, a great restoration of the temple, and a great restoration of God's law. Passover was reestablished. They weren't even keeping Passover. And it was kept in a manner that had not been kept since the days of the prophet Samuel. There were many major reforms that were made in the days of King Josiah. So we see there were several good kings that were the kings of Judah. All the kings of Israel were basically evil. Many were Baal worshippers. And many kept the people of their own country from immigrating to the house of Judah. But today, I would like to concentrate on what King Jehoshaphat did when he was facing the three major powers who were ready to attack him. They were stationed very close, only a one-day's march from Jerusalem. I'll read you a verse, 2 Chronicles 19:3. King Jehoshaphat, in the early part of his reign, prepared his heart to seek after God. Quote, "Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, and that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land, and hast prepared thine heart to seek God." Jehoshaphat had a higher trust in God than in his own military resources and skills. Remember that King Jehoshaphat was almost killed in the previous battle when he was fighting with King Ahab. And now he was facing three mightier nations that were camped near the capital city of Judah. King Jehoshaphat called Judah to express humility and total dependence upon God through a public fast. That is, abstaining from all food for a period of time. Then Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. What should they do? They gathered there with their little ones, their wives, and their children, their whole family. They listened as King Jehoshaphat led them in prayer. It was about as long as the Gettysburg Address. In fact, it was 48 words shorter. And what a great prayer it was. Don't turn to it yet. You see, in school we should learn this prayer. I learned the Gettysburg Address. We should learn this prayer. What did King Jehoshaphat pray? They're about to get slaughtered. Three mighty armies. Here it is. O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen or nations? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? That's the question. Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gave it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if, when evil come upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. So a promise made in the house of God. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, that's the Edomites, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say how they reward us, to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, will not thou judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do. But our eyes are upon thee. That's what King Jehoshaphat prayed. Now all Judah with the little ones, their wives and their children, stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jaziel, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the committee. You know what he said? And he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you. What did God say unto him? Be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. It's not your battle. It's God's battle. Well, that destroys. God loves everybody. It's God's battle. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeriel. You shall not need the fight in this battle. Set yourself, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. What did Jehoshaphat do? He bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. Boy, that was something. Now, they were supposed to go what day? Tomorrow. So they rose early in the morning. They didn't sleep late. They got up early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that they should praise the beauty of holiness. And they went out before the army and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." You ever see that? The singers was in front of the army, and they're singing, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." Now I'll show you where Tekoa is. Now, that's where the prophet Amos was from. Well, the Levites are singing in the front of the army. "Now, when they began to sing in the praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Edom, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated." Now, who set the ambushes? The Lord. "For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir," Edom, "to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Edom, they helped to destroy one another. So when Judah came to the place overlooking the wilderness," the Levites are what, singing? They're marching to where they are. "When they got there, they looked toward the multitude, and all they saw were dead bodies. No one had escaped. What had happened? The three powerful armies killed themselves. The ambushes were not the army of Judah, but must have been angelic hosts." That's just a guess. "Evidently, the angels of God suddenly appeared, and the children of Ammon and Moab became so confused that they began to destroy the Edomites. Then after destroying them, they were so confused, they began destroying one another." Regardless of how it happened, it happened. In the experience of Judah here, there was such a confusion that the army destroyed one another. The dead bodies of the three powerful armies were scattered all over the battlefield by the time Judah arrived, and none escaped. What a glorious story. There was no need for Judah to fight as God had told them. And all they did was gather the spoil. How long had it taken to gather the spoil? "Which amounted to an abundance of riches, precious jewels and other things. They gathered for 3 days and had more than they could carry. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, which Jehoshaphat in the front of them, to go back to Jerusalem with joy. For the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. So they came to Jerusalem with stringed instruments and harps and trumpets to the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. Then the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest all around." That's how you get peace. My conclusion, what is our situation today? We have about 10 candidates whom we can choose for president. all of whom are either not qualified or of an alien race or are not righteous or have a combination of all three. One was born in Canada and is a non-Israelite. In fact, most are non-Israelites, which disqualifies them from holding an office over the seed of Jacob Israel. I will read to you again Deuteronomy 17:15. Thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shalt thou set kin over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. We have executive orders that are taking away many of our God-given freedoms. We have no control over our money supply, and there are many prisons and jails that people unlawfully stay in for almost a lifetime. People rob, steal, murder, commit arson, do many other things that are against the law. But our laws have terrible punishments for all these crimes. We do not follow what God's law tells us to do. In fact, we have very few capital crimes. We have weapons that kill thousands of people in 1 minute. We have weather stations that are now major weapons of war. We have idols every place, and we worship multiculturalism and poison our foods at an alarming rate. We have knowledge but no wisdom. We have fast, invigorating instruments of information, but we have no hint of the truth of Scripture. The government has schools that don't allow any talk about the God of the Bible. Our people are vaccinated many times in their lives and then are cared for by sorceries till they have so many side effects that they will eventually die. The government holds false flag events to put the people in the mindset of gun control. We have the Southern Baptist Convention, the largest of all Protestant churches in America, who just last summer came out with their convention resolutions to say they were wrong in teaching what the Bible says in the past, that they have now repented of what they did, and they are now promoting a racial reconciling theme. They say that racist message is the devil's message, and they have changed. Multiculturalism is their theme now. Our churches are teaching the message of the Antichrist. Can you believe it? Which way will you believe? Multiculturalism? Or will you be a racist? Our people don't even realize that they are the people who are the seed of Jacob Israel. This is a racist statement. We are the racial descendants of Jacob Israel. Deuteronomy 10:15, one of many verses. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose, or elected, their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. We are slaves, just like they were in Egypt several millenniums ago. But this time, most of the people don't know that they are slaves. They believe that they live in the land of the free and the brave. What should we do? My answer: do exactly what the kings of our ancestors did that were called good kings of Judah in the Old Testament. Seek after the Lord God of Israel and gather the people of like minds and make a covenant with our God, just like kings Asa, Hezekiah, Josiah, and Jehoshaphat did. That is the only way that they ever had peace and miraculous victory in time of war. Does anyone else have any views on what we can do and have victory? Let's follow the examples given us in the Bible. If it was good enough for King Asa King Jehoshaphat, King Hezekiah, and King Josiah is good enough for me. Let's make a covenant with the God of our fathers, just like they did. They were about to be totally annihilated by their enemies. They didn't even know what to do. They just cried out to their God and made a covenant. We're in the same situation. It was just like what happened to our brethren in South Africa. How scary a time that must have been. But they had the foresight to make a covenant with their God, and he saved them miraculously. 468 against 20 to 30,000 Zulu warriors? What chance did they have? None of the Voortrekkers were even seriously injured. And over 3,000 Zulus lay dead on the battlefield. It's the power of intercessory prayer. It is the power of keeping the laws of our God. We are the covenant people of the God of our fathers. Let us renew the covenant. I suggest we make a covenant with the God of our fathers on Passover Day 2016. That'll be about 2 months. The day in which centuries before God redeemed his covenant people from the slavery of the Egyptians. We are the people of the new covenant. We don't have to kill an actual sheep, for our Passover lamb already died for us. Passover Day this year will be the covenant day for us. And each year we renew the covenant again until our Savior returns. You know, this week our mongrel president said in the State of the Union Address, I don't know if you heard the State of the Union Address or not, but he said these words, and I quoted it. Quote, "We need to reject any politics that rejects people because of race or religion." This is not just a matter of political correctness. This is a matter of what makes us strong. The world respects us not just for our arsenal. It respects us for our diversity, for our openness, and the way we respect every faith. There was no mention of the Lord God of Israel, who smote the Ethiopians, or God's angel that slaughtered the most powerful army in the world in one night, or God's angels that caused confusion, the three armies totally killed each other. President Obama says he believes in the multicultural people of America. I say that I believe in the Lord God of Israel. The Bible tells us that Babylon was built by the sons of Ham, from which came Nimrod and the Madonna child religion, or the system of worship. What was set up was a form of government which was in opposition to the rule of Noah and Shem. The Cainite religion seeks for one language and one speech. Later, after the apostate period, Rome claimed to have inherited all the promises made to Israel, thereby creating a false Israel and a rival religion in the same way as Ham had done. That's our battle. Here is, and I got in parentheses the temporary vow that we would say. Don't turn to it yet. We got 2 months before we say this vow. I want people to edit it. Add, I don't want a big long thing, one page. So if something's not right, take it out. Put it in the other words. This is a sample. I want to say something like this. All right, now turn to what we're going to say. Here we stand before our holy God, who loved our fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he made an unconditional covenant with them and elected, married, and became the king over the holy seed of Jacob Israel. We, the children of Jacob Israel, are making a vow to our kinsman redeemer that he will protect us and completely destroy our enemy, Mystery Babylon, just like he did when he answered the similar pleas of King Asa, Jehoshaphat, Hezekiah, and Josiah in the Old Testament. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this vicious enemy which teaches the evil doctrines of multiculturalism and universalism. We have no might against this great beast that comes against us. Neither know we what to do. But our eyes are upon thee. Save us before we are completely destroyed. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel.